Marines of 1st Battalion, 7th Marine Regiment, decided to return a gift that they had received from the Viet Cong. This time, it had a different theme. The Viet Cong gift was a propaganda float, which, along with two others, was floated down the San Yen River south of Da Nang on Christmas Day. The floats were decorated with anti-American propaganda leaflets and had the word Noel painted on them. Two of the floats were booby-trapped and exploded when Marines threw rocks at it. The Marines' return gift float was decorated with Chiu Hoy leaflets, Allied flags, Chiu Hoy rubber balls, and paper decorations. Painted on the front of the raft was the word Tet. The Chiu Hoy leaflets emphasize the new year and state that it brings another year of misery for the enemy. They must endure another year in the jungles away from their families. The pamphlets all explain the Chiu Hoy or Open Arms program, which offers the enemy a chance to join the South Vietnamese government. The program encourages defecting enemy troops to live within the security of a free South Vietnam. And this has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. A Chu Lai-based Marine has offered a helping hand to a Vietnamese woman he'll probably never meet unless she gets a heart operation. The Marine, Corporal Charles E. Strong III of Altoona, Pennsylvania. Serving with Headquarters and Maintenance Squadron 12, Strong is trying to help Nguyen Thi Hoa, a 22-year-old Saigon woman suffering from congestive heart failure, so that she can take advantage of America's offer of free surgery and hospitalization. In late December, Strong read about the problem of Mai, her nickname, in the Pacific Stars and Stripes. Her childhood rheumatic fever attack had progressed into a malignant heart disease, which required immediate surgery if her life was to be spared. According to Strong, Mai is in a bind. Her whole life has consisted of one hard knock after another, and now that she's been offered a chance for a new life, money and red tape get in the way. I think, he said, she rated a favor. Mai's condition was brought to the attention of a cardiac surgery specialist at the University of California's Berkeley Medical Center through an associate in Saigon. He volunteered his and the hospital's medical services. Well, according to the newspaper article, red tape began unreeling from Saigon to San Francisco, but a $200 passport charge and transportation to the United States posed serious problems. Mai was incapable of dealing with either. In early January, Strong wrote a letter to the specialist in California, desiring more detailed information as to how he could help. He has already purchased a $200 money order. Now, it's a matter of collecting money for and arranging transportation, all made possible by a Marine who cared. This has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. As darkness fell in the village of Nui Kim Sun, the visibly shaken villagers and their children huddled in their family bunkers, bomb shelters, and homemade foxholes. For 3 days, the Viet Cong had been in their area, threatening the normally peaceful homes of 2,000 people. They had listened in horror as the rockets aimed at Da Nang and Marble Mountain streaked across the sky. Cries of, "VC come, VC come," could be heard each time a Marine approached a home. The other thing heard was a Vietnamese expression, "come on," or "thank you." This simple phrase was leveled at the 15 Marines of Combined Action Platoon G6 in Nui Kim Son. These men and 30 Popular Force soldiers protect the village. Corporal Mike Guiston, 22, of Kingman, Arizona, heads the CAP unit. The veteran of almost 2 years in Vietnam and a year with the CAP team in Kim Son, as he calls it, has a great deal of praise for the 13 Marines and one Navy corpsman. Our CAP unit is sort of built around Doc. He gives the people hope where they had none, and this helps us, Guiston said. The CAP team not only provides security and hope for the villagers of Nui Kim Sun, but for the more than 5,000 refugees in the camp to their north, Hoa Long. It's a big job holding down the Viet Cong in this area, training the popular forces and helping villagers too. But we like it, said Corporal Martin R. Rolinski of Braddock, Pennsylvania. There are four towers in the village. Rolinski mans the southernmost of these, separated from the village by a small footbridge, which is more exposed to the harassing fire of the Viet Cong than the rest. The cap positions are hit almost every night by sniper fire. We're pretty lucky, added Lance Corporal David Birdall, 23, of Minneapolis, Minnesota. We've got artillery and helicopters on call, and man, do they help. The lanky Minnesotan mans a lonely tower at the north end of town. I'm always getting shot at from the mountain. The Viet Cong sure like the caves. During the day, Guiston makes his normal rounds of the village, checking any strangers, advising the sergeant in charge of the popular forces, and constantly keeping an educated eye open for signs of Viet Cong. While making his rounds, children hang on to him, calling him Mr. Mike. Hospitalman Third Class, Michael Mabe, 22, Elizabethtown, Kentucky, is a medical advisor and curer of all ills for the villagers. My main concern is keeping the people clean, he said. I sometimes go out and bathe the children to get my idea across. I see at least 300 to 400 at sick call each week. I can't speak the language, so I use hand and arm signals to make my point. There are no number 10s, slang for bed, in Nui Kim Sun, but there sure are a lot of thank yous for the help, aid, and security provided by the Marines of Combined Action Platoon G6. This has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. Six North Vietnamese Army frogmen recently made two suicidal attempts to destroy the river bridge in Da Nang. In an attempt to escape detection by the bridge security guards, the enemy frogmen used crude snorkel breathing devices that enabled them to swim inches beneath the surface of the river. Early one morning, the first two-man team, with their faces painted purple for camouflage in the darkness, floated a wedge made of bamboo poles downriver with the current. At the end of each fork of the bamboo wedge was a 5-gallon water can filled with plastic explosive. The divers had also tied themselves to the raft and to one another. Well, the wedge was probably designed to be tied around one of the concrete supports beneath the bridge. The enemy divers never had a chance to tie their raft. When they surfaced near the bridge, they were sighted by Marines of the 1st Military Police Battalion. The swimmers may have thought that they had floated past the bridge, and so stuck their heads out of the water to see where they were. The Marines opened fire with automatic weapons as the frogmen disappeared beneath the surface. There are lights on the bridge that shine straight down into the water, and the Marines have orders to fire at anything that looks suspicious. Marines and patrolling gunboats, unable to locate the enemy, tossed 30 pounds of TNT charges into the river. The following morning, the Marines discovered two enemy bodies floating in the river. Each of the enemy frogmen was armed with a diver's knife and wore North Vietnamese Army equipment, including snorkels, pistol belt, bandages, and a belt buckle with a large star in the center. The explosives attached to the raft would have been more than sufficient to have blown the bridge. Marine explosive experts discovered that the fuses on the explosive charges were designed to detonate instantaneously. It was a suicide mission, and as far as the Marines of the bridge security are concerned, it always will be a suicide mission for the enemy. This has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. North Vietnamese Army forces are becoming increasingly aware of the fact that they aren't safe from attack any time of the day or night. Leathernecks of G Company, 2nd Battalion, 3rd Marine Regiment, helped to drive this point home. They were set in for night defense close to their command post, a few miles south of Da Nang. The 2nd Battalion Marines had combined forces with elements of the 3rd Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment earlier in the day to drive an entrenched enemy unit from a nearby village. The North Vietnamese Army force fought the Leathernecks for 5 hours during the day, but the Marines had managed to chase the concealed communist soldiers out of their spider holes and heavily bunkered trench line before sunset. The Marines pursued the enemy force until dark, and then set in on either side of a road that cut through the countryside. With automatic weapons positions covering all lanes of possible enemy approach, the Marines waited. Shortly after midnight, a Marine with a night vision device spotted a column of enemy soldiers moving approximately 800 meters from his position near the road. The Leathernecks called for artillery illumination. When the flares arrived on station, the Marines spotted between 130 and 150 enemy troops moving in close column and in the open. The NVA force was caught completely by surprise when the Leathernecks opened up on them with intense small arms and automatic weapons fire. They were unable to flee when artillery barrages hemmed them in on either side. Action continued until the early hours, until spottings of North Vietnamese Army troops became sporadic. Part of the enemy force had managed to filter through the hills and air hasty retreat after breaking contact with the Marine forces. At first light, the Marine units swept the area and found many North Vietnamese Army dead, blood trails, and drag marks. And this has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific. Somewhere in a mountainous jungles outside Da Nang, remnants of a North Vietnamese Army battalion are licking their wounds after running afoul of a sharp-eyed reconnaissance team and the awesome power of Marine artillery and air support. They did everything by the book, but they must have overlooked the chapter on artillery ambushes, said Second Lieutenant Randolph G. Prillman, 22, of Triangle, Virginia, platoon commander with 1st Reconnaissance Battalion. On the morning of the big kill, the recon team members were making the usual sightings of enemy groups of two and three along a well-defined trail. Most of the day was routine until about 6:15 that evening. We looked into the valley and saw two NVA walking down the trail, Prillman said. We didn't know until a few minutes later that these two were the point of a North Vietnamese Army company. Well, the recon team allowed the two NVA to continue, and shortly, an entire company of North Vietnamese Army soldiers, two abreast and column, stepped out into the valley. The valley was quite long, and the recon team decided to wait until the company was well within it before calling in artillery fire. As the rear of the company cleared the hillside, the recon team spotted more troops immediately behind the first group. They were marching four abreast and extended as far back as it was possible to see. I decided it was time to open fire, recalled Prillman. I had waited until the majority of the enemy that we could see were well into the fixed concentration areas for artillery, and then ordered fire to be brought down on the North Vietnamese Army. According to the lieutenant, the concentration of 155mm, 8-inch, and 175mm rounds was right on target. The artillery fired a type of shell that is fused to explode in the air about 30 feet up. The rounds detonated right over the main body of the column. When the shells began to hit, the front of the column stopped as though it were stunned, but the rear of the column kept moving forward until the NVA was so bunched up they couldn't miss. They began to mill around, and the floor of the valley was almost covered with them, Prillman said. It began to get dark, and Prillman called for air support. A jet with 250-pound bombs and 20-millimeter cannon and a spooky gunship arrived. That's a C-47 armed with Gatling-type machine guns, firing 6,000 rounds a minute. Well, Spooky caught a group of NVA in the middle of a shallow body of water as they tried to cross. During the action, Prillman was trying to maintain contact with the supporting artillery units. The North Vietnamese Army discovered the radio frequency and unsuccessfully attempted to jam transmission. By the end of the action, more than 200 rounds of artillery had been fired. The North Vietnamese Army were groggy and disorganized, but not so disorganized that they did not attempt to seek vengeance for the havoc. Shortly before the recon team was to be extracted, the NVA struck the outpost with a combined mortar and ground attack. Grenades and satchel charges were hurled at the Marines. Automatic weapons fire isolated the team's machine gun, and no one could get to it. One NVA soldier got to within 6 feet of the command bunker before he was killed by M16 rifle fire. The Marines withstood the enemy assault at the cost of only two wounded. There were 81 enemy killed. This has been Marine Gunnery Sergeant Bob Green, Headquarters, Fleet Marine Force Pacific.